this morning, the New Testament lesson, I'm sorry, the Old Testament lesson is in Genesis 45, verses 3 through 11, and then verse 15, and this can be found on page 42 in your pew Bible. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me. You and your children, and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have, I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.'" And on to 15. "And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, and then 42 through 50. But someone will ask, "How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?" Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen. And to each kind of seed, its own body. Then on to 42. Is that right? Yeah. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and mind be acceptable in thy sight. My Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Wow. How many of you have read that story of Joseph from beginning to end, and how he was sold into captivity, and how a brother on a decided not to kill him or have him killed, but sell him first, and how out of that, their intention, their plan, was to get him out of sight, out of mind, and out of there. Who knows what God has planned for you? But Joseph was aware of it all. Not just on his trip down to Egypt, but when he was working for Potiphar and when he got sent to jail. Each and every one of those times, people that he was working with or was surrounded with wanted to work evil against him. And in each and every occasion, God wins. Most importantly is how Joseph took it on board and realized he was being blessed. And I imagine that when his brothers came down to Egypt, there was maybe a few minutes where he was, my turn. But when you read that last verse, he's greeting his brothers and he is sobbing over them. And he's again with them. That's an end of a story that's awesome. Well, gosh, you know, we have an awesome story in the New Testament piece. When you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, Paul has been doing all of this talking about spiritual gifts and resurrection. And one of the challenges always comes up, okay, what's that resurrection body going to look like? Okay? I mean, all right, we're going to buy into resurrection. But what's it look like? Because everybody wants to visualize it, right? Just like the coats on the rack. We want to be able to visualize that. Just like the food's going out of here in the bags. Just like the smiling faces. We want to visualize that. Well, we saw that yesterday, if you were here. And I think you could probably imagine it if you weren't here. Nonetheless, what Paul does in this is he says, all right, now that I've got you convinced that, and you're going to believe that there's a resurrection of God, of Jesus, and there's a resurrection that you and I can look forward to. Well, what does that look like? Well, think about the simplest of things. When you plant a seed, how many of you have seen a mustard seed? Pretty small. It's a little speck. Almost looks like a piece of ground up pepper. It's that small. Now, I'm not saying that I've seen a bunch of trees or bushes made out of that, but it's pretty big considering how small that seed is. The other piece is, how many of you have had a peach? Okay. Now, what does a seed look like in a peach? Big and ugly. How tasty and juicy is the seed? Not. But the peach is. So you plant the seed. The seed dies. What comes up out of that is this tasty, wonderful, beautiful peach. The same can be said for many flowers. The same can be said for apples and many, many fruit. And the point is, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Until you plant that seed into the ground and it dies, you don't have the plant that comes out of it. As for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. verses 39 through 41, which weren't part of the reading for today, but it speaks to what flesh is like. Not all flesh is the same. There's a flesh of human beings, of animals, and so on and so forth. Different flesh. So it is with the resurrection of the body. What is sown is perishable. Every one of us is wearing a perishable body right now. Every one of us has seen evidence of what happens over the passage of time. Dick, was your hair always gray? Okay. And I didn't always have a little circle up here in my head either. It used to be, there used to be hair there. And my knee, I used to be able to run marathons, and that's not happening again. But those are perishable. But what is raised is imperishable. Here's another key. Well, it's raised. Well, we know that Jesus stands outside Lazarus' tomb. And what does he do? He doesn't recant some mumbo-jumbo. He doesn't say abracadabra. He just stands outside Lazarus' tomb. And, oh, by the way, you know, they knew it was a tomb, and they knew Lazarus was in there, and they knew Lazarus was dead. How do you think they knew that? Because it smelled. He was dead. He'd been in there 4 days. Jesus stands outside that tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And wrapped cloths and everything, he stumbles out from that tomb. Jairus' daughter. He raises her. Now, each and every one of those was a reanimation. Now, there's a difference between a reanimation and a resurrection. Because, as we know in Scripture, Lazarus was raised from the dead, reanimated, but he dies again. He doesn't have the resurrection body at that time. He ends up dying. The same thing with Jairus' daughter, though we don't have any scripture that tells us that, but we know that in each of those cases, they who've been raised, reanimated, die. They're given new life, but it's not a resurrection. Jesus' body in the tomb is resurrected. Jesus says, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it back up again. God raises Jesus from the dead. It's a key part of an element of our faith system. Confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord and Master. And that God raised him from the dead. Because that locks me into the promise of what my faith sees and believes even beyond what the evidence is of life. Jesus raising from the tomb on that resurrection Sunday. Mary and Martha and Peter and John rush to the empty tomb. They see it. He's not there. Where does he show up? He shows up to Mary there in the garden. And then he shows up in that room where the doors are closed, the windows are barred. And he shows him his hands, shows him his side, his feet. He eats with them. And each of the appearances, in each of the accounts of the appearances, Jesus has a physical presence like. But it's not a physical presence because he's able to pass through a wall. He comes into a room without there being any. Doesn't come through a door, doesn't come through a window. He's just there. And as he walks down on the road to Emmaus and he meets those two people and he's talking to them about Jesus, they're telling him about Jesus because he said, well, what's been happening? And when they sit down to dinner and in the breaking of the bread, they realize that it's Jesus. And what happens? As soon as they realize it's Jesus, what happens? The scripture says, he's gone. Well, that, you know, what physical body can do that? There are properties to Jesus' resurrection body that are spiritual. But yet, there are also properties of Jesus' resurrection body that are what we would call physical. He's able to eat. He's able to you know, he doesn't take the fish and, it, you know, he puts it in his mouth like some of these ghost stories, and it just falls on the ground because they're a ghost. There's nothing there. It's just a spirit. It's something other than that. So it's not reanimated flesh like Lazarus, but it's a resurrection body. Well, here's some other parts about it. It's imperishable. That resurrection body is everlasting. It's sown in dishonor. And in that, okay, we're all sown in dishonor. Why? Because from Adam on down, we are born in sin. If you want to say, well, no, I've never sinned. Sorry. You may want to reconsider that statement, because it's probably not going to hold water. So, as Paul says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. So we're all in the same boat in that. Raised in glory. That resurrection body that we have, when Paul says, absent with the body, present with the Lord, that resurrection body in the glory of God. We're going to have Transfiguration Sunday, next Sunday. And when you read that scripture and review it and renew it and you recount it and try to reanimate it in yourself, it's the glory of God. It defies description. It is so glorious. It is so powerful. It is so beautiful. Any set of words that I might throw out to describe it is going to fall short. Raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. Jesus gives his body up to be crucified. And then he takes that life back up as proof of God's power and dominion. You know, it's not for nothing that he speaks into what is nothing in Genesis, speaks into the void and creates out of nothing everything. He didn't say Shazam either. It is sown a physical body, it's raised a spiritual body. In verse 45, it was written that the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Think about this. Adam is born out of the dust of the earth. When God creates him out of the dust of the earth, and he breathes the breath of life into Adam and gives him life. And Adam dies, goes back to the earth. Jesus Christ, when we do our affirmation of faith, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, there's part human there, born of the flesh, but conceived by the Holy Spirit, spiritual. One was dust, the other spirit. One is dust, one is spirit, one from earth, one from heaven. As the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. We will die. And as the man in heaven, so are those who are in heaven. Just as we are born the image of man of dust, we will also bear the image of man in heaven. Well, what am I saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. I don't know how many funerals Dick has presided over. I've presided over a few. And virtually each and every one of them, at one point in time, either at the interment or committal, a passage of John 14, let not your heart be troubled, and this passage, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You must take on the imperishability. Our bodies which are perishable must take on the imperishability. Nicodemus was wondering and asked Jesus what it was and how he could have everlasting life. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Well, Nicodemus is a smart guy. How am I supposed to go into my mother's womb and be reborn? His mother's probably no longer with us at that point in time. So he knows that's a physical impossibility, but he's willing to listen to what Jesus says. And Jesus says, you must be born again by water and spirit. You must be born from above. Jesus, when he's baptized, the Holy Spirit manifests in a dove, descends. And his voice from heaven, this is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Born from above. You and I, through our baptism, that water and spirit, for our baptism, we're born from above. That's where it starts, that resurrection body, even there, because we become transformed from something that's earthly and is perishable into something that is heaven-bound and imperishable. For this cannot inherit heaven. Look at the last words of God to Adam when he left the Garden of Eden, and he's cast him out, and he tells him what's going to happen. Sweat and toil and death. But he still loves him, and he gives him the option, the opportunity of the resurrection body. We had resurrection power last week. And you know that resurrection power is in each and every one of us. Now, isn't that sweet? Shalom.
Our hymn of invitation is number 572.
Number 572. Pass it on.